Ephesians 5. Well, Paul's writing here to converts who had come from a pretty rough kind of background morally, and he says, fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, crude joking are not befitting saints. And he says, let them not even be named among you. And he is quoting pretty well from the prohibition in the law of Moses in Exodus 23 to not even name the name of idols. So he's saying that for us, idols are all these things, and that they should not even be named amongst us. We live in an age where I believe it's unprecedented that you can enjoy, quote, you know, in between the commas, these things vicariously. That is, that you may not do them, but you can watch them, you can read about them in novels, you can engage with this kind of behavior online, social media, etc., joking about these things. You can do all these things, and yet turn around and say, but I never did them. I was not a fornicator, I was not sexually unclean, and blah, blah. And yet, he says, don't even name these things. This is a very high challenge, especially when you realize that he is alluding to the prohibition under the law of Moses to not name the name of idols. These things clearly are our equivalent. These are our potential idols. He's saying just don't think about these things. Don't even talk about them. And that is what should characterize Christian conversation between believers, and we should be noticed in the company that we keep, in the workplace or family or whatever we are, that we don't talk about those things and we're not interested. And I think that of itself is a great witness, particularly in the generation in which we live. And as I say, the online life makes this kind of thing so easy to fall into. Now, he doesn't just say, now, don't do this, don't do this. Paul, nearly always, when he's saying, don't do this, he always says something positive, what you should do. He gives the antidote. For example, in another place, he says, don't steal. And that was particularly relevant to slaves, household slaves, who could pilfer pretty easily out of rich, wealthy homes, and nobody would notice, apparently. He says, don't do that, but rather work with your own hands so that you can give to those who are in need. Now, it's the same here. He reels off all this list of things, and he says, but rather giving of thanks. And at first blush, that might be a slightly odd thing to say. But what he's saying is that a grateful heart, giving of thanks, a thankful attitude, is actually the antidote to all that temptation to perform idolatry. He actually says in verse 5 about all these things that such a person is an idolater. He's saying that the antidote to it all is to have a grateful spirit. If we are really touched by the magnitude of God's grace, which is what he began talking about in Ephesians 1, he talks about it several times in Ephesians, well, you are going to be grateful. And it is that grateful spirit which will help you to not be interested in idolatry. Likewise, it is a grateful spirit, a thankful spirit, which is the ultimate antidote to all forms of human pride. If you go through life grateful for the cup half full, rather than lamenting the cup half empty in your life, if you go through life like that, particularly endlessly thanking God for his grace to you, that you are going to live eternally in his kingdom, that all your sin is forgiven, if you go through life thankful, this helps you in all sorts of ways, not to be bitter, not to be resentful about what you don't have, not to be proud. And it is the antidote, he says, against all these things. He lists them all off and says, but rather giving of thanks. And in fact, he makes the same sort of argument, really, elsewhere, where he lists a whole load of things, and says, and thankfulness, and be thankful. So it's as if he's saying that to be thankful is absolutely, absolutely critical. Let the peace of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called, and be thankful. He just puts that in there, because to be thankful is, as it were, the crowning grace of the Christian life. So how can you be thankful? Well, we live in a world that is discontent. Really, this is truly the age of discontent. It really is. People are not happy politically. People are not happy economically. They're not happy socially. It's the age of discontent. And to be thankful, as I say, is really a strange attitude to have in this world. But it is what we're called for and called to, and we have absolute every reason to be thankful in a way that secular people simply don't. Whereas if you have known the wonder of forgiveness, if you've known the wonder of God's grace, if you have perceived something of the wonder of the cross, of God giving his Son to die for you, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, Paul can say. If you perceive those things, you will be thankful. And that, as I say, is the crowning grace of the Christian life.